again, everybody. This is Doug Hagan of the Daily Gator blog. And yes, you're listening to your If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right, right here on the Chimpsy Radio Network. We've got a lot to get to this week. You've got sports stories that will drive you crazy. You've got touchy feelings. You've got the nanny state. You've got, well, how did that trying terrorist in civilian courts work out, Eric Holder and Barack Obama? You've got fiscal conservatives versus social conservatives. You've got Bristol Palin getting death threats because she's doing well on Dancing with the Stars. You say Palin derangement syndrome. Jay Rockefeller playing Joseph Stalin. You've got TSA screenings going completely, completely overboard. What else we got? We got, folks, we have government-run, government-mandated salad bars in schools. All of that starts right now. This is Doug Hagan. You are listening to If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. You are right now at the site you need to be. The most dangerous cyber radio network in the history of mankind, Chimpsy's Radio. And this is the most politically incorrect and offensive to liberal cyber radio show you will ever hear. And so many things to talk about this week. So many things to get to. That will absolutely blow your mind what's going on. Have you flown recently? You planning to fly recently? Obviously, a lot of Americans are going to put themselves through the absolute beating that is Thanksgiving to so many people. With the travel and this kind of short time frame and the eating all the food. I'm personally kind of burned out on Thanksgiving. I just would rather just watch football and not even look at a turkey. But a lot of people really still enjoy it, and a lot of people are going to be flying. And the TSA has enhanced their security measures, their pat-downs. They're getting pretty touchy-feely, grabbing crotches, grabbing genitalia, grabbing breasts, demanding one woman who's a breast cancer survivor remove her fake breast to be examined. What is wrong with this president? You know, someone, Michael Medved, made the point the other day that if Bill Clinton were president right now, Bill Clinton would be on this TSA story, this TSA dust-up, faster than he would on a chubby new intern at the White House. Clinton would do the right thing. Now, I don't know what his heart would be, but he's a good enough politician to know that the American people are furious over this, and he would put the grass fire out before it became a wildfire. But Barack Obama is not Bill Clinton, so I ask, why is Barack Obama doing this? Why is he not speaking out? Why is he not saying, hey, the American people clearly don't want this, we're gonna stand down on this, and we are not going to treat American citizens like cattle. Look, he's a guy in the campaign of 2008 said, we just don't give away civil liberties because we're scared. And yet we're doing this, these invasive, intrusive, obscene, cheap thrill type of groping sessions because we're scared. And yet Barack Obama was, don't give away civil liberties because you're scared as a presidential candidate. You've got Janet Napolitano, who is about as stupid as a fence post. I think I'd give the fence post about 15 IQ points on this woman. How this woman gets out of bed in the morning amazes me, much less gets the position she has in this administration. She doesn't get it. You know, the American people only put up with so much. And I think with these TSA screenings, and they're going to get worse because more and more and more airports are going to get these nude body scanners, and more people are going to opt out, and more people are going to be groped and violated, and more incidents are going to happen. This could kill the airline industry. I mean, if it gets bad enough, people just right now. if I were planning a vacation and I had to go through an airport that had these, I wouldn't go. And I don't care that much about a lot of things, but you know what? Being groped at the airport because why? You have metal detectors. You have dogs that can sniff bomb-making material. Excuse me. I just don't think we need this type of invasive procedure. And the interesting thing is this might actually unite the left and the right. I don't know of anyone who should be in support of this crap. And it'd be interesting to see the far left, the far right, and everybody in the middle kind of united and would affect some change. You would hope. Not Jay Rockefeller, probably. You see, Jay Rockefeller is a longtime senator from West Virginia. And he said recently that he would, well, he said he had a bug. And this bug wanted the FCC to just shut down MSNBC and shut down Fox. He's tired of the left. He's tired of the right. He's yearning for real news again. Excuse me, Senator Rockefeller, Joseph Stalin called. Gave you two thumbs up. This is what's wrong, folks, with our Senate, with our government, with so many people in our government. They do not respect liberty. They don't understand what it is. They're offended by something. They don't like something. So they want to do away with it. And they don't mind using government power to do that. Frankly, I wish the FCC would be scaled down or maybe go away entirely. And a lot of people have tried to make the point, well, hey, Rockefeller wants MSNBC and Fox both, so he's being fair. Well, I mean, a lot of people watch Fox News. A lot of people don't watch MSNBC News. So really, Rockefeller's throwing out what? Nothing. He's throwing out nothing when he throws out MSNBC because no one watches it. It's a small price to pay for a leftist like Jay Rockefeller, a statist like Jay Rockefeller, to lose a friendly voice in MSNBC to get rid of a really powerful voice against him, as he sees it in Fox News. I want to get to another story. I don't talk about sports a lot here, and these next two stories really aren't that aren't that much about sports as they are about nanny statism and hypersensitivity, excuse me, of the left. First one involves a new commercial, and I saw this commercial a couple weeks ago, and I knew when I saw this commercial the first time that there would be, I knew exactly what would be said, I knew exactly what would happen, I knew exactly the controversy that would arise. There's a new game, I think it's called Black Ops. I don't play a lot of video games and the war games. But it might be Call of Duty Black Ops. I believe that's what it is. And Kobe Bryant, who's the one of the best players in NBA history, plays for the Lakers, who I hate, by the way. But Kobe Bryant is in this commercial along with Jimmy Kimmel and a lot of other kind of well-known people playing in the game character. And the character, he has an assault rifle, and he's, you know, shooting in a war-type setting. And, of course, you know that any time anybody uses a gun, the left will wet their pants. And, of course, you've got the, oh, my God, an athlete using a gun in a commercial. How will we ever survive? You've got people whining because they say this is, we're at war now, obviously, and this is disrespectful to the military. Well, you know who really loves these type games? A lot of people in the military. So that's a stupid argument made by stupid people. But this fascination that the left especially has, they're so hypersensitive. Oh my God, he's got a gun and he's shooting. It's not real. It's pretend. But they don't seem to associate reality with anything. Kobe Bryant's using a gun. He's a star athlete. So they think he's sending a message to all kids in America to go out and pick up assault rifles and start shooting people. Hardly. The fact is the NBA may have a lot of problems. A lot of the thuggishness that is in a lot of the NBA followers. Ask anybody who's been to an NBA All-Star game. I talked to a couple people who have been to a couple. And I'll tell you what. They didn't feel safe. A lot of thuggish type characters hanging out. Not the players necessarily, but a lot of the posses and the entourages and all that crap. So there's nothing wrong with what Kobe Bryant did. And he handled it very well in his interview. He said, don't ask me silly questions. Basically, let's move on. And good for him. He should have a little bit more respect for Kobe Bryant than I had as a person. But there's another story that involves sports that, well, let's talk about nanny staters. There's a story on NorthJersey.com, and the title kind of sums it up. Doctors want kickoffs banned. Now, we're talking about high school football games here. And there's a group of nanny staters who are posing as doctors who want to ban kickoffs. I guess they would have a coin flip, and then whoever wins could get take the ball at the 20 or something. And because they say the kickoffs are the most dangerous time of game. You've got 22 guys running in opposite directions, full speed. One's got the ball, and everybody's trying to hit each other and block and tackle and all that. And yeah, injuries do occur in football. They occur all the time in football. That's part of football. But again, here you go, the nanny statism. Someone might get hurt, so let's ban something that has been around for decades and decades. Let's bend over backwards because someone might get hurt. I mean, what's next? Are we going to ban climbing trees for children? We're going to ban swimming pools for children? We're going to ban houses with more than one story because someone might fall down the stairs? What is next? We've accepted a stupid premise in this country, many of us, that the government has a legitimate role in saving us from us. It doesn't. It never has. It never will. The more government steps in and tries to save us from us, protect us from ourselves, the only thing that happens is our liberties get trampled. Government grows, bureaucracy grows, and go back to the TSA thing. One of the biggest problems with the TSA is it's a government-run bureaucracy. And I think airports can opt out of the TSA screens. I wish they would. Go to hire private companies to do this. They'll do it much more efficiently, much better. Everyone will be much happier instead of a bunch of poorly trained government employees. And even worse, the TSA may be unionized soon. You want to talk about going from bad to worse, from the frying pan to the fire? Unionize the TSA. See how well that crap works out. We know about unions today. Excuse me. So you've got the gun sensitivity and the, oh my God, Kobe Bryant's getting a commercial with a war game. He's got a gun. How will we ever survive as a republic? You've got banning kickoffs. But the world of sports, obviously, is not the only one that gets this hypersensitivity. From Red State, great blog. I contribute there sometimes, not as often as I'd like because I'm busy doing other things. But there's a story by Matt Kibble there about a new Food Safety Modernization Act and how it would target and destroy family farmers. It's the unintended consequences of so many things that the left does. So many things that it's good intentions. You know, what they pave the road to hell with. But when these things are put into place, there's consequences that absolutely cause havoc and chaos and heartache and increased cost. Here's a story. Reading it from Mr. Kibble's fine post at Red State. Yesterday, the Senate voted to take up consideration of S-510, the so-called Food Safety Modernization Act, which would grant the Federal Drug Administration, that's the FDA, more control over our diets. This goes hand-in-hand with Obamacare, doesn't it? We told you this was coming, you fools who wanted Obamacare. We told you. The nose to the camel under the tent, now the head's under the tent. You ready for the neck, too? Now, Cable writes, the supposed intention behind the legislation is to protect consumers from foodborne illnesses. But will it really? Now, I work in a restaurant business. Foodborne illness is real. It's a bad thing. Hell, it can kill you. There's no doubt. A lot of people get sick from foodborne illnesses. Generally, it's just improper handling. Not cooking food long enough. You idiots who like rare hamburgers, what's wrong with you people? Seriously. Not cooking food long enough, not cooking to a proper temperature, letting food sit out, cross-contamination. I remember I went to a cookout one time, and the guy associate brings out this huge plate of chicken and puts the chicken on the grill, and he's, you know, cooking it. And when it's time to take the chicken off, here comes the same guy with the same plate that the raw chicken was on, and puts the cooked chicken on the raw plate where the raw chicken was. I said, I'm not eating that. Well, why? Said, because this raw chicken, you just put cooked chicken on raw chicken. Anything that was wrong with the chicken to begin with is now wrong with it again. Just stupidity and carelessness and lack of knowledge. But most people eat all the time. I think we all do. Yeah, we all eat, right? And it's very rare, really, that people get seriously ill of any foodborne illness. Now, back to Kibble's column. If passed, the misnamed Food Safety and Modernization Act would authorize the FDA to tell farmers how to grow their crops. Federal bureaucrats, who likely know little to nothing about farming, will set the guidelines on appropriate temperatures, what soil to use, how much water to use, and what animals are allowed to be on certain fields. Again, you've got government pinhead bureaucrats who don't know their ass from a hole in the ground, excuse the French, telling people who do know how they should do things. This is a big problem in America today. Not just in government, but in a lot of corporate settings. Again, you've got, working in a restaurant business, a lot of the corporate type places, you have an idiot making a decision who's never done the actual work in a restaurant. And it looks good on paper, but it just tends to inconvenience the people who actually are trying to take care of people, trying to take care of customers, get them drinks, get them food, and keep them happy. It doesn't really do any good, and this is how government bureaucracy works. A study by Tom Coburn, a senator from Oklahoma, stated this: on the whole, this bill represents a weighty new regulatory structure on the food industry that will be particularly difficult for small producers and farms to comply with. That's everything the government does as far as choking down business regulation. Democrats, liberals love to regulate everything. You know, they like to regulate regulation. They are regulatory freaks. That I guess that's how they get their rocks off. They just have wet dreams about regulation at night, probably. Senator John Tester has introduced the Tester Amendment, which would allegedly prevent these harmful regulations from affecting small family farms. However, Campaign for Liberty says these regulations will still be imposed on whoever the FDA decides. It could even affect your home garden if you sell vegetables or fruits at a local farmer's market. Again, micromanaging everything from this faraway government, massive government bureaucracy. Nothing good will come of this. Nothing good. Pretty soon they're going to be trying to tell you what kind of vitamins you can take, how much food you can eat, what food you can eat, what food you can buy, where you can buy it, how much you can buy. They are trying to control every aspect of your life. That's what the left does. I don't care what their intentions are. I don't care how noble their intentions are, how sweet their intentions are. They, being the federal government bureaucrats, don't care. They want power. They want money. They want control. Now, how much is this SOB going to cost? The Congressional Budget Office has calculated that this bill would cost $1.4 billion between 2011 and 2015. To carry out their new rules, which they probably don't even know what the rules are, the federal government will have over 17,000 new bureaucrats. Food producers will likely spend hundreds of millions of dollars annually complying with these unnecessary government regulations. This cost will be passed on to guess who? You, me, consumers, in the form of higher food prices. Big agriculture is one of the largest proponents of the bill since it will likely destroy their competitors who cannot afford the high cost of these regulations. These are Democrats, remember? Democrats are always for the little guy, right? They're always for the underdog, always for the working man. Are they really? Well, it seems that the Obamacare bill had a lot to do with getting in bed with those big evil insurers. And here we go again. A small family farm, there's a target on you. The more regulation, more strangling regulation, more strangling costs, higher food prices, and the whole goal of this to keep us all safer from foodborne illnesses? No, that won't ever happen. That's just the way the government runs things, folks. They don't run anything. Again, power, control, and money. That's what bureaucracy from the government is about. Every aspect of your life, they wish to control. Why some people refuse to understand this, I don't know. Just like why our president and our attorney general, Eric Holder, you know, the one that said we're a nation of cowards when it comes to talking about race, because we don't all agree with his racism and rampant in America ideology. They have insisted that we shouldn't have military tribunals for terror suspects. Shouldn't let the military tribunals should do it. We should try them in civilian courts. Well, how's that work out? A friend of mine, Pat Austin, and So It Goes in Shreveport blog, she's all right, even though she's an LSU fan, she's okay, has something about the trial of Ahmed Ghalani, an al-Qaeda terrorist. He conspired to blow up American embassies in Kenya and Tanzania in 1998. Was acquitted of 285 charges out of 286, including one count, as Pat points out, of murder for each of the 224 people killed in the simultaneous attacks. Now, a lot of the evidence was thrown out because it wasn't... Civilian courts run differently than military tribunals. There's a lot more clear definitions of what can and can't be submitted in military tribunals. They're in the civilian courts. It's astronomical what goes on in the civilian courts sometimes. Now, interesting to me, the jury found Ghalani guilty of only one charge: conspiracy to destroy U.S. government buildings using explosives. Now, how a jury finds you guilty of that, but doesn't find you guilty of the murders of the people who died because of what they just convicted you of, it makes my head hurt. But this is what happens in civilian courts a lot of times. This guy was that close to being exonerated. 286 charges, he skated on 285 of them. How does that trying terrorists in civilian courts work out, President Obama and Attorney General Holder? It doesn't work out. Fact is, this guy should have been tried in a military tribunal, and it wouldn't have worked out this way. And we're going to continue to do this. And eventually one of these idiots, one of these terrorist bastards, is going to get off. And he's going to be free to plot the death of more Americans. And he's going to be hailed as a hero by the swine that follow him. Why is it that our president doesn't grasp this? Is he just naive? Is he just... so obsessed with ideology that he can't see the forest for the trees, so to speak? You know, someone pointed out, it was Mike Gallagher, who has a local radio, it's national, but he's here in Dallas, was making a point that, you know, the left is blaming President Bush for this. because President Bush authorized these measures and kept these people at Gitmo and detained them there. And that's why a lot of the charges didn't get convictions. Well, the fact is, he's right, they're right, but there's something else. The real question the New York Times should be asking is, why the hell did Obama, knowing this would happen if he used his any common sense, why did he insist on having a civilian trial for this guy, knowing that all these charges would be thrown out, wouldn't get convictions probably? Why didn't he see the forest for the trees? Why didn't he and Holder say, wait a minute, we're hurting ourselves here. We're cutting off our nose to spite our face. We need military tribute. We need to continue that. We're going to stick with that. That's the best thing for this country. That's the best thing for the security of this country. And that's the best way we can fight terrorism using tribunals or using civilian courts would be tribunals. Again, guy doesn't get it. He's tone deaf. Just like with the TSA screening. He's tone deaf. Apparently he doesn't care. He thinks grandma getting groped, getting felt up at the airport somehow makes us safer. Look, it boggles the mind, folks. What is wrong with President Obama? The more I learn about the guy, the more I think he's just a complete leftist ideologue. I mean far-left ideologue. Not liberal, not progressive, leftist. He just doesn't see the damage this country he's doing. He just doesn't understand it. To him, he's right on Obamacare. He's right on cap and trade. He's right on all the spending. He's right on this, right on the trying terrorists in civilian courts. So facts be damned, common sense be damned, reason be damned, the American people's will be damned, the Constitution be damned. He's going to do what he wants to do. And to hell with the rest of y'all. Now back to this Gilani story. This is some of the comments from around the blogs. From Hot Air, Alapondit wondered, if he had walked, this terrorist, Gilani, Obama would now be in the excruciating position of having to decide whether to let him go, which would be an utter political disaster, or to rearrest him and hold him on some sort of preventive detention grounds, which would be a civil libertarian's nightmare and a political disaster among his base. Obama puts himself in positions that just make no sense. Thomas Jocelyn had a question. He wondered this. It is a mystery how the jury could find that these facts failed to add up to a guilty verdict on all the murder counts. How can a terrorist be guilty of conspiring to blow up two buildings, but then be found not guilty of the ensuing deaths? Exactly the question I asked. Liz Cheney. I love Liz Cheney. I hope she runs for office one day. At her website, Keep America Safe, issued this following statement. Bad ideas have dangerous consequences. The Obama administration recklessly insisted on a civilian trial for Ahmad Gilani and rolled the dice in a time of war. The Department of Justice says it's pleased by the verdict. Ask the families of the victims if they're pleased. And this result isn't just embarrassing, it's dangerous. It signals weakness in a time of war. The Gilani trial was supposed to be the test case for future trials of 9/11 terrorists. We urge this president, end this reckless experiment, reverse course, use the military commissions at Guantanamo that Congress has authorized, and above all, accept the fact that we are at war. Again, reality doesn't dawn on Barack Obama. It doesn't. He's an ideologue. He believes what he believes. He believes what he believes, and to hell with everything else, to hell with everybody else, to hell with the people, the Constitution, you name it. I'm Barack Obama, I'm your president, and I'm always right. You elect a narcissist? This is what you get, folks. You elect a guy whose ego is the size of a tribe of Bigfoot's toe jam. That's what you get. That's what you get. You get a president that is not just tone deaf. to the will of the people and common sense, but just ignores it completely. That's what you get when you elect an elitist. And Obama is an elitist. Now, who wants some music? Music is always good. I usually, about this time of the show, take some time, play some music for you. I got a pretty good one for you this week. Again, one of my favorite songs. And something to help you refocus for the rest of the show and tap your feet a little bit and just enjoy the song, will you? I will be back, my friends, after... maybe late 80s. Always loved that song. It's one of those songs that's kind of been forgotten by everybody. But every time I hear it, Just love that song. And let's talk about the United Nations, folks. The United Nations, the useless nations, as I call them, can amaze you because of their absolute ineptness and their hypocrisy and their absurd level of moral retardation that infests that nest of vipers. Story from Reuters that will make you smack yourself in the head with a hammer. Please don't. If we can only smack the people in the United Nations with a head with a hammer. Oh my God, he's inciting violence. He's one of those crazy right-wingers. It's a joke, folks, okay? Liberals, get a sense of humor. And stop being so damn pessimistic. Why is it, I'll get to you in a second, don't worry. Why is it that liberals love bad news? They love bad news. They love to feel bad. They love to be told the environment is collapsing. We're all going to die from global warming. Any good news about the environment, any story like a story I blogged about this week that the ice in the Antarctic is growing, not melting away, they meet it with sad faces. It's like they're addicted to feeling bad, feeling pessimistic, and wanting the world to be destroyed, isn't it? It's amazing. Amazing what's wrong with these people. But again, back to the useless nation from Reuters. Arab and African nations succeeded Tuesday in getting a UN General Assembly panel to delete from a resolution condemning unjustified executions a specific reference to killing due to sexual orientation. So the UN General Assembly, when they were done playing with their crayons and having nap time, decided that they were going to pass a resolution, which would be meaningless, of course, but the resolution would condemn unjustified executions. And they had a list of reasons, and one of them was being gay. In other words, countries that cut the heads off of homosexuals, which a lot of those really progressive, you know, Islam is a religion of peace type countries, that have Sharia law, behead homosexuals for being homosexual. And it amazes me. It does. I mean, what is wrong with the UN? Why would they cave in on this? Why wouldn't they say, you know what, Ahmed, why don't you stop having barbaric laws that kill people for having a specific sexual orientation that's really none of your business to begin with? Back to the story from Reuters, though. Western delegations expressed disappointment. They were sad. They cried. They threw their crayons away. In the Human Rights Committee's vote to remove the reference to slayings due to sexual orientation from the resolution on extrajudicial, summary, and arbitrary executions, the subject of this amendment, the need for prompt and thorough investigation of all killing, including those committed for sexual orientation, exists in this resolution simply because it is continuing cause for concern. That was a British statement to the committee said. The General Assembly passes a resolution condemning extrajudicial summary and arbitrary execution and other killings every 2 years. The 2008 declaration included an explicit reference to killing committed because of the victim's sexual preferences. But apparently this year they couldn't do it. I guess, is the General Assembly afraid they're going to be attacked by radical Muslims? Don't they know that Islam's a religion of peace? That Sharia law is wonderful? Everyone gets along under it? Unless they're getting their heads cut off, of course, or being stoned, or being lashed for drinking or gambling or something. Sharia law is such a great thing. As long as you do exactly what Sharia law tells you. Otherwise, well, then you might lose your head. Or be buried up to your neck and be stoned if you're a woman who does something really, really obscene, like talk to a man you're not related to, or show your face or something. But this year, back to the story again, Morocco and Mali introduced an amendment on behalf of African and Islamic nations that called for deleting the words sexual orientation and replacing them with discriminatory reasons on any basis, except if you're gay. That amendment narrowly passed 79-70. The resolution then was approved by the committee, which includes all 192 UN member states, with 165 in favor, 10 absentees, and no votes against. The U.S. delegation voted against the deletion but abstained from the vote on the final resolution. Diplomats said the U.S. delegation also voiced disappointment at the decision to remove the reference to sexual orientation. Why does the UN even exist? I mean, forget the fact for a moment that this resolution will be completely ignored by anyone who wants to ignore it. It's like the, you ever see the parent in the store where the kids just don't listen to them? The mom, a dad, whatever, says, don't do that. And the kid does it anyway, pays no attention. That's what the UN's like. They're like the neutered parent that has no controlling authority over the kids. The UN is about as useless an organization. They have no power, no teeth. They really don't do anything. When they do things, it turns out typically to be negative, not positive. And then they kowtow and bend over backwards to the worst offenders of human rights. They just put Saudi Arabia on in a group of nations that's going to discuss the rights of women. Really, Saudi Arabia? They treat women like trash. Third-class citizens, but here's the UN geniuses. Put the Saudis on there. They know so much about women's rights. Now, if they had a panel on having disrespect for women, treating women like cattle, treating women like slaves, Saudis would be perfect. Again, the UN is useless. It's beyond useless. Let's talk about something else. There was a website in the UK who posted personal information on over 200 Israeli Defense Force soldiers who fought in the Gaza offensive. This story is from Weasel Zippers. Great blog, by the way. A web hosting service removed Thursday a website which displayed more than 200 pictures, names, and personal details of Israeli Defense Force soldiers who were dubbed by the editor war criminals for their actions in Operation Cast Lead in Gaza in December of 2008. The site, entitled Israeli War Criminals, was published in recent days by an anonymous source in the UK and declared that its goal was to focus on the personal level and not on the national level of those responsible. So you have this little jihadist piece of trash wannabe putting the information out on Israeli soldiers, hoping they'll be targeted and killed. The little terrorist starter kit here. The soldier list at the top of the extensive list was IDF Chief of Staff Gabi Ashkenazi. I hope I'm saying the name right. It was written on the site that the details of IDF soldiers and officers were most probably obtained from an Israeli soldier. Well, that guy's not going to be real popular, is he? The site sparked wide public criticism, and Kadima MK, good lord, these names, I could never live in that part of the world, I couldn't speak, and Kadima MK Majalali Wahabi even appealed to Attorney General Yehuda Weinstein and demanded that the site be investigated. Whoever incites against IDF soldiers and calls them war criminals deserves to be punished, wrote Wahabi, who called on the police to find the culprit behind the site. I don't know who's behind the site, but I do know this, folks. I hope the Mossad pays them a visit very soon, a very painful visit. Short, sweet, to the point. You're scum, you're swine, you're dead. Thank you, the Mossad. You know, Israel is a country the left hates as much as they hate America. The left hates America. They hate Israel. They hate any aspect of liberty that's left in Great Britain and Australia and Canada. And yet they appease terrorists. They cannot wait to get down on their knees and kiss the ass of terrorists and dictators. It amazes me, it always has, that the left is so morally retarded. And these same people on the left who defend these bastards would be some of the first people to get their heads chopped off by them. They're useful idiots. Again, Jimmy Carter's classic example. But I do truly hope that whoever put this information out there will be visited by the Mossad very quickly. That would be justice, and I would do the happy dance. Yes, I do the happy dance when I hear of terrorists being killed. It makes me happy. It should make everyone happy. What kind of person isn't happy when evil is defeated and killed? Who doesn't celebrate that? If you don't celebrate the defeat of evil, you're a moral retard. You need to re-examine your position as a pacifist or a progressive or a leftist, whatever you want to call yourself. Evil has to be met and defeated. That's just the way it is. Speaking of evil, according to the left right now, the most evilest person in the whole evil world has to be Bristol Palin. Why? Well, she's a daughter of Sarah Palin. That's strike one. She's doing well on Dancing with the Stars, strike 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And she has inspired episodes of Palin Derangement Syndrome. One idiot in Wisconsin, I believe it was, shot his TV with a shotgun. Then turned the shotgun on his wife, and there was a police standoff. Turns out he's not a Republican, by the way. Surprising, I know. But this guy was upset because Bristol Palin's doing well on Dancing with the Stars. First place, if you're a grown man watching Dancing with the Stars, you might want to turn in your man card. I'm just saying. Yeah, I know some of the dancers are pretty hot, but still, it's Dancing with the Stars. Seriously. But the left is out there blaming the Tea Party. The Tea Party's rigging the results. There's no way. She sucks. She's terrible. She's horrible. This is a kid, basically. What is Bristol Palin, 18, 19? The left hates Sarah Palin so much. They hate her family so much. Why? Because Sarah Palin has ideals that they just can't accept. This is a tolerant left, folks. And some idiot, this I guess was yesterday maybe, as I record this on Saturday, sent some talcum powder in an envelope to Bristol Palin at Dancing with the Stars. The police had to be called, obviously, and to find out what it was. But what's wrong with people? Seriously, what is wrong with you? This is a kid. It's a kid. If you don't like Sarah Palin, debate her on ideals and principles. But don't send threatening packages to her child. What a douchebag you are if you did that. What a pathetic loser you are. Seriously, you should proceed immediately to the nearest cliff and jump off. Do the world a favor. And I know, oh my God, he's inciting violence again. No, I'm not. I am sick and tired of people who are so monstrous and so evil and so bitter in their heart that they want to hurt a kid for doing well on a TV show because they disagree with her mother's politics. What the hell is wrong with you people? Speaking of what the hell's wrong with you, and let's stick with Sarah Palin for a moment here. The Huffington Post, of course founded by Arianna Huffington, the world's most obnoxious woman. Seriously, have you listened to Arianna Huffington talk? Oh my God. I mean, remember the TV show The Nanny? That woman had an obnoxious voice, but at least she was hot. Arianna Huffington's not even attractive. She's like Gloria Allred with red hair and a worse accent. But the Huffington Post is very upset with Sarah Palin because, well, Sarah Palin mentioned that Michelle Obama said some things about America that weren't very nice. See, the left gets mad at the right when someone on the right points out what someone on the left says. They don't get mad at the person on the left who said it. They get mad at the person on the right for saying that the person on the left said it. Incredible. From the Huffington Post, in passages leaked from her forthcoming book, America by Heart, Sarah Palin, the erstwhile quitter governor of Alaska, who now, by all indications, fancies herself as president of the United States, has taken another cheap shot at First Lady Michelle Obama. You think there's a little slant there in that story? In a passage on perceptions of racial inequality in the United States, Palin slams President Obama, who, she asserts, seems to believe that America, at least America as it currently exists, is a fundamentally unjust and unequal country. And then she goes after Michelle Obama. Certainly his wife expressed this view, Palin writes, when she said during the 2008 campaign that she had never felt proud of her country until her husband started winning elections. In retrospect, I guess this shouldn't surprise us, since both of them spent almost two decades in the pews of Reverend Jeremiah Wright's church, listening to his rants against America and white people. Well, everyone's heard the video clips of Reverend Wright. Is there any doubt what he was doing? Railing against Whitey, railing against America. What's wrong with Sarah Palin pointing it out? Why did the Obamas spend 17 years in that church? With the congregation going crazy over Wright's racist rants, why were they there? If they don't share the views, you know, they could have left. The question has to be asked. Back to the Huffington Post. The passages from Palin's latest book first appeared at Palin Gates, where several other pages from America by Heart have also been posted. Palin followed up her comments about Michelle Obama by throwing an elbow at U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder, also focusing on racial overtones. It also makes sense then, Palin writes, then that the man President Obama made his Attorney General Eric Holder would call us a nation of cowards for failing to come to grips with what he described as the persistence of racism. You see how the left works, folks. It's pretty simple, pretty easy. To them, the person on the left can say whatever they want to. They can say racist things all day long. If someone on the right points it out, the person on the right is the racist for pointing out that the person on the left is spewing racist rants, like Jeremiah. If Lovin' Whitey's right, I don't want to be wrong. His pastor and Obama and Michelle sitting there and having their kids baptized there and getting married in that church, that's all okay. You see, all the racism on the left is good and acceptable, but if the right points it out, then the right's bad. Particularly if it's Sarah Palin. Now, last story I want to get to here is about Michelle Obama. And no, I'm not going to pick on what she was wearing. Again, that's not really important that she has no fashion sense. But, and she did make, was it Vogue or one of the one of the big women's magazines, made the most fashionable list. I think she was number one. Really? Did homeless people vote on this? You thought Liberace was a bad dresser. But anyway, let's talk about government-mandated salad bars in schools. That's right, folks. Obamacare, diet police, the food police, Michelle Obama. God help us, God help the women of this country and the men of this country if Michelle Obama ever becomes the fashion czar or something. Good Lord. Sex will end in America. There will be no more sex. this story... There will be up to 5,000 salad bars in public schools. 5,000 salad bars in schools. The checkpoints. There's checkpoints when kids go and get their food. They'll have to be checked out. They'll have a stormtrooper there with jack boots on, and it'll say, "Oh, not enough vegetables, not enough fruits. Go back, you little bastard, and refill your plate or you'll be shot." Something to that effect. The checkpoints are to ensure the students have served themselves the correct portions of fruit and vegetables required under the federal lunch program. Of all the things the government can be involved in, monitoring what kids eat at lunch at school should be one of the last. One of the last. Now, from SunValleyOnline.com, is where I get this story, the White House is set to announce on Monday a major new initiative that will place up to 5,000 salad bars in public schools nationwide, despite uncertainties over how health inspectors might treat those salad bars and USDA nutrition tracking rules that could prove a major impediment. Officials in the White House, led by Chef Sam Cass, and at the U.S. Centers for Disease and Prevention, have been working to build a coalition. It's a coalition. It must be good. Representing the produce industry, and Ann Cooper, Director of Nutrition Services in Boulder, Colorado, Schools, who recently teamed with Whole Foods to raise $1.4 million for customers to establish a grant program that would place salad bars in qualifying schools. Under the initiative expected to be announced again on Monday, in Florida, where First Lady Michelle Obama has taken her Let's Move campaign to fight childhood obesity, Cooper would manage applications for salad bars from the schools, along with distribution of funds to purchase necessary equipment. One potential obstacle to the program is the refusal of many school districts to install salad bars for food safety reasons and because of cumbersome USDA rules governing the federally subsidized school lunch program that feeds some 31 million U.S. school children every day. Another huge waste of money. But again, what do you have here? You have the government tripping over its own rules and regulations, trying to enforce more rules and regulations. The left just doesn't get it, folks. They are their own worst enemy. They're our worst enemy. They can't get anything right. They're so obsessed with regulating and controlling that they end up tripping over their own regulations and controls. Unbelievable. And by the way, salad bars, many used to be in many restaurants. You hardly ever see them anymore. A lot of bad stuff in salad bars. A lot of cross-contamination, people sneezing, people grabbing things with their hands. Not exactly the most food-safe place. And that's all the stories I have for this week. I do want to share a personal note with you. I am a member of the Sons of Confederate Veterans, as I am very proud to be. Proud of my ancestors who fought in the war between the states. And the Sons of Confederate camp I'm a member of, the O.M. Roberts camp in Waxahachie, Texas. I'm going to be the camp commander starting in January, and we'll try to get some recruitment up and get new members, and I want to get some good publicity for the Sons of Confederate Veterans, get some education going, and try to make people understand the history of the war between the states. And I know some people will criticize me. Hell, some people on the right will probably criticize me for, you know, all this thing, all still fighting a war. No, just trying to keep and preserve history and heritage alive. Those things are important, as we see every day in this country. So many of our problems are due to the fact we've forgotten our history, or that we didn't learn our history to begin with. But in closing, folks, I want to have a tribute to my ancestors, and I want to deliver a message to any of those who criticize my ancestors, criticize Confederate History Month, or people and organizations who remember their Confederate ancestors, who honor men like Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson and Jefferson Davis and Jeb Stuart and so many other Southern heroes. I got a little song for all of you, and I will talk to y'all next week. I'll leave you with this great song. It will offend liberals. That's why I love it. Have a good week, everybody.